por favor, homie. A courtesy flush, perro. A courtesy flush.
Okay.
It's been recording for a really long time. Okay, so right. Clap with me. That's going in, bro.
Cut that.
No, that's going in. Here, we're clap. Oh, shit. All that's going in. All right, welcome back, guys, to the Courtesy Flush. Ari just fucked up the studio, his first 5 minutes here. It's cool. It's not that bad.
I hope it's not real wood, because I just spilled Red Bull all over it.
Fucking mahogany and shit?
Yeah.
Is there toilet paper here or some shit? Because I think we should clean that, like, ASAP, right? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, we should not let that shit. Yeah, we got paper towels. Thank you, Miguel.
Thank you, Miguel. Alrighty.
Dude, that's the start of the podcast. Well, I'm not editing that shit out. That's the start of it.
All right, man. I hope it's not too much dead air, but yeah. My bad. To whoever's studio this is, that's my bad.
Okay. That's never happened before. Okay, so Ari, you know, my man, we met exactly a year ago.
Yeah, just about.
Just when COVID was starting. And I remember, like, we were just chilling at the Fourth Wall Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Right? And we were just talking about, like, damn, this COVID shit crazy, isn't it? We were talking about how, like, Tom Hanks got it. And
dude, do you remember back during that time, people were like, yeah, it's a thing, but it's not that big of a thing. And, like, L.A. was cracked wide open. There was a few people with masks.
Yeah.
And there was bunk hand sanitizer, like, everywhere. That was when we met. And then, like, 2 days after that, I remember I'd just done a spot, like, a few nights before that with Spitel. And then they shut everything down. And it became like, absolute hysteria after
that. Yeah, I remember, like, I had to do a set at Bert's Back Room. You know where that is?
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure.
So I had to do a show there. And then right when I got there, they're like, oh, sorry, guys. Eric Garcetti or Maren Newsom just tweeted out, we can't be doing comedy shows right now. So we all had to leave. And I was like, damn, what the fuck? COVID just got real. Because when we were at Fourth Wall, like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, COVID's a thing. And no one was even wearing masks. There's, like, a few people wearing masks.
Yeah.
But you and I were just chilling. Was it Perry Groan, right?
You,
me and Perry, we were just vibing out.
Dude, and we were packed. We were like packed. Like, literally, if there was one person with COVID, we were all going on ventilators.
That shit. Fourth Wall, it's a pretty small space with two floors, and it's so compact, and it was fucking, everyone was there. And yeah, holy shit, man.
You know what I remember? I remember us just having the feeling, like, people were doing bits about COVID, and we're like, it's kind of hacky.
Yeah, it's pretty hacky.
Because we thought it was, like, not a thing. And now, who's not talking about COVID? I mean, like, you literally go to a party now, and people, what they talk to you about is, like, so, this COVID thing, huh? I mean, it's literally what people talk about. And look, we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy, bro.
It's fucking insane.
Throwback.
I need to get sponsored by fucking Red Bull at this point, bro.
Yo, free clout? Is this what we're doing?
Yeah,
we're just giving free clout? Let's cover it.
Red Bull gives you wings or some shit. Goddamn. You better sponsor me, Red Bull. Because David Dobrik's out the fucking window. So I better be getting sponsored right now.
Bro, I don't even know what's going on with that. I'll be honest with you.
So what happened with David Dobrik? It's not really him, but he basically filmed sexual assault. I might have to bleep that.
I feel like you're missing, like, a big part of that. He literally filmed someone getting...
All right, well, he didn't know that at the time. He thought it was consensual at the time.
Oh.
But the woman came out and said she was so drunk to not even know what the hell she was doing. But it wasn't him that, you know, did the Epsteining, but it was...
Yeah, oh, my God.
It was someone else. It was his friend Dom. But
that took a dark turn. But Red Bull. You should get sponsored by them, dude.
He lost all his sponsors, so I better be getting some sponsors out there. You know,
bro, that's crazy. It just goes to show you in this day and age that information is so, like, quickly available. Like, who is safe? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like growing up, you know, Dobrik was the fucking,
like, the
goat.
Guy,
I mean, people, like, loved him and whatever. Now to hear about that is a shame.
Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy. Yeah. It's like Chris D'Elia. You're a big fan of D'Elia. I'm not.
I like D'Elia. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's hilarious, bro. He's had me fucking rolling.
I'll say
sometimes.
His stand-up's pretty garbage, but his podcast is pretty solid. That's what I'll say.
I will say he's better at stand-up than I've ever been.
Okay.
You know what
Obviously,
I mean?
Obviously,
like...
But he kind of got...
I remember him on Vine, bro. Like, Vine... I don't know if you're too young for this. How old are you?
I'm 18.
Okay.
I'm not young
for
Vine.
18? You're
barely Yeah. Called David
you
Dobrik.
You see that? D'Elia? Never mind.
Yeah. D'Elia, barely 18.
Yeah, there you go. And dude, he had me laughing so hard. I remember his Eminem bit that went viral. Like, that super funny. And
he never got to meet him directly, right?
No, they got together and they did something.
Okay.
I forget what it was. But then, like, yeah, bro, I hate talking about, like, comedians that got canceled. But,
Shane Gillis.
Dude, I think Shane is hilarious, too. And I don't think he's canceled. I honestly think he has a better career now because he's touring. He's selling out places. Like, good for him. Like, I feel like people's careers are more in their hands when, you know, they're, like, direct to consumer rather than, like, when you're an SNL writer or, like, let's say you're on SNL, you're not direct to consumer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll decide if you're going to be in a sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, hey, man, at the end of the day, things all work out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So a year ago we met, and now both of us are vaccinated, you know?
Bro.
That was an ordeal. Maybe because I'm way too young to get a vaccine, so I had to, like, kind of, I was saying, like, oh, I'm employed. I have to meet people every day, and they're like, fuck, just get this kid a vaccine.
Yeah.
So I got it. For you, it was just fucking easy because you work in healthcare, right?
I work in healthcare, yeah. I'm a rep for a medical company, and I'm like a medical device company, and I'm in and out of doctor's offices all day. I see patients all the time, and most of the people that I see are elderly.
Yeah.
You know? And that's who's, like, really worried about it. But, yeah, I remember you telling me, you're like, my family needs to get vaccinated. I was like, bro, you got to leave the county.
Yeah, I left L.A. County. We got it in, like, far away.
And, you know, people are going to hate and say, oh, you're not supposed to do that, whatever. But it's like, you know, he had to get vaccinated because, you know, his family was, you know, susceptible to getting sick. I don't know, man. Don't judge. Like, literally, if you've learned anything over the last year, is that you shouldn't just judge people, like, be all quick to judge them, you know? When COVID first started, like, everybody was yelling at someone else for, how could you be out having fun? How could you be out doing this? And, like, granted, yes, it's irresponsible, but if you're gonna hold everyone else to that standard, then you should still be at home now and social distancing now. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, dude, the nuance is absolutely gone.
Yeah, that's true. It's
crazy.
Yeah, when you're talking about doctor's offices, I just remember this, like, you post on your Instagram story about, like, you trying not to eat the
Ferrero Rochers, yeah. Bro. Yes. Every time I go in there, this doctor, shout out, actually, I probably shouldn't shout him out because it might say something on here that I don't know, whatever. But every time I go in there, because, like, it's a cultural thing, he always has these, like, sweets. I don't know if you, like, noticed, but it's not just those ones. And I'm all, like, trying to, like, be low carb and, you know, stay away from bread and pasta. And here I am, and I just go in there for work, and six Ferrero Rochers later, you know?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Makes you lose your abs.
Nah, you're fucking fit, bro. Like, that's why I felt so self-conscious when we were hiking. And you're like, you know, dude, let's take our shirts off.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Bro, you trying to get yoked? Like, real talk, we should get you so stupid diced. Dude, we should get you peeled, like, back
Kumail
to the tree.
Kumail Nanjiani style?
Yes.
Fuck it.
I guarantee you that Kumail, shout out Kumail.
Shout out Kumail.
A brown guy who's fucking yoked. Yoked.
He's fucking, that was a crazy, like, no one saw that coming from him.
I promise you he's on crazy amounts. Crazy amounts of, like, exogenous hormones.
But,
so,
like,
stuff that's going into his body because, like, they can do stuff like that, and God bless them. It's, you know what I mean?
But, like, that's funded by Disney, though. That's the thing. I'm funding myself.
Yeah, true. True. You're going to have to, like, drive down to Mexico and and buy a bunch of vials of, you know, testosterone, human growth hormone.
Yeah, HGH. I'll just ask LeBron for some HGH.
Bro, but if
doesn't HGH make you lose hair?
No, testosterone can, though.
Okay. Then
testosterone can give you androgenic alopecia. And what that'll do is, like, it'll just speed up your hair loss. So does your mom have hair on her side of the family?
Yeah, everyone has hair except my dad's he's kind of receding a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah, that can, it can speed it up.
Fuck that, dude.
It can speed it up.
I want to enjoy my flocks of hair for a really long
time. Bro, you got great hair.
Really?
Thank you. You got great fucking hair.
Thank you, man. I mean, it's not great when we're out hiking for, like, 2 hours.
Dude,
and
that's so funny.
Okay. I think I can kind of read your mind, and I know where you're going with this. And, dude, fucking I'm brain farting right now. The guy from Jurassic Park, yes. Jeff Goldblum.
So, dude, so
Jeff Goldblum, man.
We're on this hike, and there's these two guys minding their own business. And I remember, like, you just, you know, you're just shooting the shit. You're just being funny, and then you tell this guy, "Hey, what's up, Jeff Goldblum?" And then he's like, and his friend, like, you know, looks over at us, like, kind of pissed off, and they keep walking. So
they chuckled, though. You can't. They laughed at it. No, it
was a nervous laugh.
Okay, it was a nervous.
Do you know
laugh.
What I mean? It's like that. You know what I mean? Like they were nervous laughing, and then we passed them again. They came back, and we passed them again. And then you're like, "Hey, Jeff Goldblum." And then his buddy goes, "I shit you not." His buddy goes, "He really doesn't like that." That's exactly what the guy said.
I hope he hears this, man.
Bro, I felt really like awkward. I was like, sorry about that, dude.
I feel like if you weren't there, I would have been so fucked. Like,
if they would have tried to fight you?
No, not fight, but they would have 100% like approached me and had a whole like stern conversation.
Like, dude, who the fuck do you think? Yeah, I mean, whatever.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much did he actually look like Goldblum? I'll give it a 6.57. Solid.
It was enough that like if you were busting his balls, like you'd get the reference, but like not so much so that he probably heard it a bunch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that guy had not heard that a whole lot. But he could have.
I feel like that's not the first time. Come on, he has the hair, he has the age, he has like the look, the clothes also. Like, he just looked like a Jeff Goldblum copycat.
Bro, you were clowning a complete stranger.
You
that
and
is,
I.
That is a comic thing to
you
do.
You and I are both comics. Yeah, so that's what we have to do.
A comic thing to do is like you're just passing by someone on a trail, like they're just trying to enjoy nature. And you're like, "Bro, you look like..." And you just like, go off on them.
Dude, like, yeah, maybe I guess I shouldn't. You did teach me, and you did say, like, "Hey, man, we're not always at, like, Fourth Wall or the Laugh Factory down the street."
Some people have thin skin. Yo, let me ask you, what's going on with your love life since we last talked?
Yo, honestly, man.
Let's talk about it, dude. Let's talk about it.
I don't think we can.
Really?
Bro.
Why? Because NDA?
NDA, the people be listening to my podcast. Really? And, you know, this is like a brown thing. So if this shit spreads, it's fucking over, yo.
Bro, you don't want the brown. You know, hearing all about your love life if you're not supposed to.
The love life is my education and work. That's my love life, you know?
Dude, do you want to hear a funny story? So, I went on a date with a girl a couple weeks ago.
Muslim?
No.
Okay.
Not going to shout out her name or anything. Great girl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really enjoyed our time together. And she seemed like she really enjoyed our time together, too. You know, we had a great dinner, went out, whatever. And then, like, the next day, she texts me and is like, "This was such a great date," whatever, whatever. And then, like, I don't see her for a day, then another day. And she hits me with the, "Look, I'm just really busy at work right now.
Oh, man.
So I don't think I can date anyone." And what I said back to her, dude, I was like, "I'd rather you tell me I have a small wiener or that I'm just not attractive than you tell me that you don't have time."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, in terms of rejection, I'd rather hear, like, "Hey, you're, like, not up to par," or something like that.
Okay.
Or, like, "You're not good enough." But like when someone says that they don't have time, you know that's not it, because everyone's got time if they really want someone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was like, "Can't you just tell me I'm ugly?" like for real.
Dude, like my whole life, like I've been the king of rejection. Like whenever like I ask out a girl or whatever for Valentine's, for dates or whatever, it's like a 90% rejection. I'm like the opposite of Steph Curry. Yeah, so but recently like my probability has gone a little up for getting girls.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, just time. Just
you think it's your confidence, your swagger, or women are coming into their own? Because like there is like an age group where women don't know like necessarily like who's a good guy fit for them. Like,
yeah,
like do you remember like in high school, like guys would neg girls all the time? They'd be like mean to them.
Yeah.
Because like that's what we thought, or people thought, like responded, like women responded well to.
Yeah.
And you're like a really nice guy. So I feel like.
Thank you.
I feel like, you know, maybe you're like coming into your own, or what's going on?
I guess that's the thing. I'm feeling more comfortable, like being myself, being more confident, you know. I guess when I used to ask out girls before, I had like a fucked up hairline and shitty hair.
Oh, word?
I had fucked up teeth. Mm-hmm. Then I got braces and veneers, so that fixed itself out. That was pretty expensive.
You got veneers?
Two veneers. These front teeth are fucking fake.
Sexy, dude.
Yeah,
good for you.
I chipped them off like when I was young, and it just looked horrible, man. Yeah, it looked like.
Dude, I got two crowns in my front right here. Because when I was 13 years old, I got into a ski accident, and my knee hit me in the teeth, and my tooth came out my front lip.
Fuck.
It just, like, it straight up came out. And so, get this.
Root canal?
Yeah, 100%. So, I get down to the bottom of the mountain, face black, blue. My eyes are black and blue. Like, it hasn't even been, like, an hour.
Okay.
And I get down to the bottom of the mountain, and I call my dad, and I'm like, Dad, you gotta come get me. He's like, why? I'm like, I knocked my teeth out. He's like, where? I'm like, on the mountain. He's like, well, where are they now? I'm like, up the hill. He's like, go get them. I was like, how are you gonna find teeth in snow? My dad was insisting, like, this is like a very Middle Eastern dad thing to do. He was insisting that I go back up there and look for my teeth. There's like 2 feet of powder, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, imagine, like, looking for where you think your teeth were. Like, it was a traumatic experience.
You know, in times like those, like, I really fucking wish we had a control F in real life, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to use that sometimes in real life. Like,
what is control F? Is it undo?
No, control F is it's find.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You're a Mac user, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucking asshole.
That's why I didn't get the reference. Control F.
Yeah,
okay.
Control F is just finding something. Like, in a Word doc, you can control F and find a word you're looking for or some shit. Yeah. So I just want that in real life. Like, oh, I misplaced my keys. Control F. Oh, it's in my room, you know?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? My dad lost his phone like a few weeks ago, and he was like, "Oh fuck! Like, I'm not getting that shit back." Cause he went to like so many places in a day. Like, he was running errands. He went to like grocery store, fucking DMV, a bunch of shit.
Strip club, yeah, strip club, for sure.
Fucking, I know. Penis reduction surgery, everything.
He's got a big one. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
So he lost his phone. He came back. He didn't have his phone on him. So I was like, "Damn, what the fuck do I do, bro?" So I tried it. This is like a shot in the dark. I tried the Find My iPhone feature.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be bullshit, right?
First of all, shot in the dark, that's like the only option you have. Like,
obviously.
Like, before Find My iPhone, like, you lost something.
Yeah.
All you could do is retrace your steps.
Yeah.
That's it.
So what I had was that, so I put Find My iPhone, and then I put, like, there's this thing called a lost mode. You could put it as lost, and then you could put a message on it that says, like, oh, if you find my phone, call this number. That's not mine, but it's, like,
it's
my relatives or something.
Yeah.
So I put my number, and I was like, probably nothing's going to happen. And then I was just chilling, just, like, playing video games. And then I get a call. Right? And in my head, I'm like, dude, this has...
What do they sound like? You got to do their voice.
So it was like...
All right, we're going to do it.
First of all,
what?
I have like text. I have proof, right? And this is like some like college like Latina chick.
Okay, so you be the Latina chick, and I'm going to be you. Ready? I'm going
to
call
let
you.
Let me pull out my phone, and let me see her text real quick to refresh my memory. So look at her contact name.
Jasmine Phone Finder.
And then she was like... thank you. You know.
Yeah. So it says phone check.
This is after our phone
double
call.
Thumbs up. And then he says, Niloufar, keep me updated, please. Who's Niloufar?
That's my mom.
Oh, word. That's a Persian name too. Okay, you called. Sorry, accident. Okay, no problem. Are you close by? And then it's a picture of like the street.
Yeah.
And she says yes. And then you're like, okay. And then. Very unexpected, but very appreciated. Glad I was able to help. Have a good night. God, she sounds like a sweet girl.
Okay, so the phone call started off like, hi, who is this? And then she's like, hola. No, she's like.
But she could have.
She could have. Jerry Seinfeld. And then she's like, hi, did you lose a phone recently? And I'm like, yeah, I did. And then she was like, can you tell me what the wallpaper is? Because, you know, if you call someone,
smart girl.
If you lose your phone, I was trying to think what the wallpaper was. So I asked my dad, like, do you know what your wallpaper is? And he's like, I don't know what it is. And I'm like, I try to refresh my memory, and I'm just like, it's like some default, like, planet bullshit, like a moon or something.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, that's it. And then I was like, dude, so Did you find the phone, like, with the case and everything? And she's like, yeah, yeah, I found it at, like, a Vons or something, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, shit, thank you so much. But here's the thing. We're all in different locations. Like, my dad's out there trying to look for his phone. Mm-hmm. I'm at home.
Right.
And then she's, like, when she found the phone, and she's at home because she was like, might as well just take the phone, right?
Right.
And then, like, I was like, fuck, how do I make this happen? So I tell my dad to, like, go to, like, a neutral location, like a KFC or something.
It's like a drug deal? Like, go to, like, a neutral, yeah, like a, yeah, safe, it, location?
The worst part is that it was actually, like, in a shady area.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked.
Like, meet me on Crenshaw Boulevard. You're like, all, yeah, right.
Fuck it. So I was like, I had to, like, sell it on my parents. Like, I was like, okay, someone found your phone, but you have to listen to me. You have to go to KFC. And then he's like, are you sure I'm not going to get fucking killed? Because it was such a weird location, right?
Bro, that's so messed up.
And then, like, I feel bad for this girl, too, because I'm just like, oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm not there. Just go to KFC and... give the phone to a guy that kind of looks Middle Eastern and who's wearing a Hollister sweater. And she's like, mind you, this is at like 11 p.m. at night, dude.
What? First of all, unless it's like a well-lit area, I probably wouldn't do that as a man, let alone as a girl. And I know maybe that sounds
this
like...
This is pretty well-lit, solid, right?
Not really.
Yeah, okay. It looks
There's
shady
literally
as fuck.
Not a single person in that photo. So it's like... It's a street view and there's nobody around.
Yeah, so that was pretty, yeah. So thank you. I guess I'll send her this clip.
Yeah, dude. Shout out Jasmine, bro.
Shout out Jasmine.
Did you like hook her up with like a tip or
oh,
something?
Oh yeah, yeah. My dad gave her like $20.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because like, you know what? Like,
pay it back.
That's never happened before. And honestly, like, if someone found a phone on the fucking ground, they would nine times out of ten they would not be helpful. They'd just like turn that shit off and just sell it on like eBay or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to make a quick buck.
I would lose my wallet all the time.
Really?
Yeah, back when I was like...
This guy lost his fucking wallet like a few days.
Oh, he did, dude?
Yeah. So tell me your story about losing a wallet.
I would lose my wallet all the time. And this one time, I lost my wallet with like, you know, like a couple $1,000.
What?
Yes, yes. And I'm not trying to like brag or anything, but I'm saying like I was dumb enough to keep that much cash in my wallet.
That's
right?
A fucking stupid idea.
It's a stupid idea, right? So I lose this wallet, and for like 3 days, I'm saying like, if I get this returned to me, you got $5.
That's it.
That's it.
If I lose it.
Bro, I was like, if I get this returned to me, I promise to give half of it to the person who found it.
Okay.
Right?
So did it have your ID and driver's license? So
address? It had all that. It had all that. And then like a week and a half goes by, okay, and my mom is like, hey, a package just came for you, like at the house. Because like I had, yeah, there's my business card. I was like, what package is it? And so I go, and sure enough, it's my wallet, right? And it's the money that I had in there, but it's like $400 short. So this person was like a good enough person to not take all of it.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, shipping and handling.
Yeah,
like.
yeah.
So I got it back, you know, but it was just really funny that they took some out. They're like, I don't know if this guy's going to hook it up.
I think that's granted. Like, if you find someone's wallet with a bunch of money, like, I think you just have to, like, there's a finder's fee. You just have to give something back.
Bro, there should be, like, a unspoken rule that if you find someone's wallet and you need the money, take the cash, send them the cards back. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go back to the DMV. Like, just going to the DMV alone, bro, is...
It's hell.
You can have, like, a few $100 of mine if you need it. Right? Wouldn't you rather do that than have your wallet completely taken?
Exactly. Dude, that sucks, man. But, like, hey, at least you found it. And, like, I think you waited a week. Damn, you were hopeful, dog. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have much else to do.
When was this?
It was back in college.
College. Did someone, like, $1,000? Damn.
No, it was almost $2,000. It was almost $2,000. And it came back like $400 short.
That's a bad idea, man. Why? I don't know why people do that. Why don't you guys just keep it in a card?
Because like, I was dumb.
I think max, on a wallet, you should have maximum $100. That's it.
Really?
The rest you could just pull out of ATM or you just, I mean, no one, who like, What I've seen recently is that, like, shops prefer contactless payments now, like Apple Pay, Google
Pay. Yeah, but that was, like, 6 years ago, you know
what
I
mean? You still had a card.
Things were different.
You still had a card,
though.
I had
a card. I think what it was is, like when I was younger, like, the idea of having a bunch of cash on me felt a lot more real.
Yeah.
And now, like, what feels real is, like, oh, how much Ethereum do I have in my wallet
or
something?
You're a crypto guy, so.
I'm a crypto guy.
Pump and dump.
I like the pump. I like the dump. It's just what it is, man.
I've been doing that with Doge.
With Doge?
Yeah, that's 100%.
I won't touch Doge.
I mean, it's a pump and dump, bro. Like, whenever Elon tweets something out, it just rises 4 or 5 cents.
Could you imagine if your tweet, like, could manipulate the economy, like, the market?
That's crazy. Elon really fucks. You saw what he tweeted out, like, a week ago? He's like, okay, you can now buy a Tesla with Bitcoin. And then it shot up, like,
huge.
$500.
Huge.
So I was like, wow, one tweet, just a guy, like, typing on his phone, just manipulated the market, and it made some people, like, I don't know, 10 grand?
Yeah, I feel like when you've got enough social cachet, like he does, people are going to believe you and, like, support you even if you might be wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's launching a shit ton of rockets. Not all of them are successful.
Yeah, the one failed.
But people are like, nah, we trust what you're doing.
Hey, but that Falcon 9, that's like a extraordinary accomplishment, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Shooting up a rocket and then landing it back down, saving money. That's something.
Yeah.
That's like a bullet point in human history. We've never done that. That's like, it's going to advance space travel a lot, you know?
What's something that you're scared of with technology?
Technology, man?
And what's one thing that you're actually scared of?
What I'm fucking scared of is just like, we're all getting so attached to, like, we're putting everything into the cloud, like, everything, everything you have, like, let's just say your bank account, right?
Right.
So you have to put in your email, your password, your social,
right,
to access your bank account, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all that shit is stored in the cloud. All that money is in some cloud storage of, like, Wells Fargo or Chase Bank or some bullshit, right?
Right.
And those are just in servers, and any time that shit could crash and all your info is gone. And what proof do you have? You know what I mean? Because, like, everything, your photos, your just... your email, your everything, your online persona can just evaporate if, like, Google servers, Gmail servers just, like, fucking blow up, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's gone. It's not backed up. You get me?
Yeah, I totally get you. So, I agree. That sounds horrible.
I think, like, Elon and Joe were talking about that on their podcast. Like, everything is just, I don't know. Like, everything can get deleted in an instant, you know? It's kind of crazy.
Do you know what scares me is, okay, so if you look back on history, there was these people that came along that challenged, like, the status quo, right? Okay. And, like, at the time, their idea seemed, like, really, like, ahead of its time, or they seemed like they don't belong there, and they got pushback, right?
Yeah.
Like, people who led movements. I feel like, and what people who lead movements do is they try to circumvent some of the power from, like, whoever's already in position, mm-hmm, to other people, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to get to the point where tech is going to be so massive and controlled by so few that those people will be squashed before there's ever any momentum.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if, like, God, I hate using the Gandhi example, but, but Gandhi's a pretty sick example.
Shout out Gandhi.
Shout out Gandhi. Shout out.
I'll at you, dog.
Yeah, he's sick.
He was on some D'Elia shit back in the day, though.
Yeah, but pedophilia wasn't pedophilia back in the day, I think. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't call D'Elia a pedophile.
No, no, but, like, he was sleeping with young girls.
But weren't they, like, 17? I'm talking about Gandhi.
No, I thought Gandhis were, like, 13.
13?
Yo, producer, can you look that up for us?
Yeah, you got that somewhere, too.
13? I thought it was on some D'Elia shit, dude.
No, D'Elia's cool in my book. He's innocent till proven guilty.
I think D'Elia was like, oh, Wisconsin age of consent is 15. We're going to Wisconsin.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, he basically, really? He followed the laws of every state. He didn't break any laws, but that's still unethical, right? Like,
yeah, but I feel like in this country, like, aren't you innocent until proven guilty?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, aren't things, like, kind of
hearsay?
But then,
like, things with the internet like that, like, D'Elia lost a lot of shit just by tweets. And it's not, like, a criminal offense yet, but, like, I don't think he's going to, like, be in the mainstream. I don't think, like, Netflix loves to have him anymore, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Hey, you know what? I hope if there's victims, I hope the victims get, you know, justice or they things get righted.
Yeah, right? Yeah, of course.
And yeah, that's all I really got to say about that. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know much either. But I got to ask.
What were you saying? Were you saying something before that?
I was saying something before that.
Yeah. Producer, what were you saying before that?
Gandhi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So back then, what? Like, he would have been shut down, like, really quickly, right? Because, like, whoever's in power, like, for example, like, the English, right, that were in India, imagine if they controlled, like, all, like, the airwaves and how people communicated. And, like, now, like, movements, they get traction on Twitter or, like, Facebook or whatever. What if you could just, like, silence the, like, the hashtags and, like, all that stuff.
Damn.
Or they could like find out exactly where you are and they could do some
that.
Fuck shit.
Have you ever like I think the scariest moment I had online gaming was like playing Black Ops 2 mm-hmm. and some kid like read out my address.
How do you find your address?
IP address and then reverse Google search where that IP address is and then you find my general location. It wasn't my exact address. But he was like, oh, do you live in L.A. and this zip code? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I do. But
Why was he beefing it with you? Were you beating him?
Yeah, I was just killing him in COD back in the day.
This is what I've heard. I've heard that sometimes cops will get, SWAT will, like, get a call.
Yeah.
That I can't hear you again for some reason. SWAT will, like, get a call that there's a guy armed with a gun in a house.
Yeah.
And it's like they called it in because they were playing Call of Duty with a kid they didn't like.
Dude, that's
so
crazy.
The cops will go in guns blazing, like ready to shoot someone because you know how cops be. They're like, I'm so convinced that they want to shoot someone. Like, it's just what it is.
Yep.
And it's just a kid like playing video games.
It's insane, bro.
That's so messed up.
Dude, this has been bothering me for like the last like 30 minutes. How do you pronounce your last name? So everyone just says Ari Kata, right?
Kota, yeah.
Kota, yeah. What's the full last?
Codaverdian. Yeah.
Codaverdian. That's right dope. Yeah, yeah.
Codaverdian.
Codaverdian, man. Hey, thank you for inviting me to your little Super Bowl get together, man. That was dope. Thank you.
That was sick.
Joe's and Pizza was pretty bomb.
Joe's Pizza's fire. It was a pretty boring game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the game was. We made a bet and I fucking lost, but it's okay. But
hey, you paid up like a real man.
Shout out to Kevin. That chicken dip or whatever was
yeah,
so
buffalo.
Bomb. Yeah, dude, that shit.
Yeah, bro, so good.
That was so bomb.
Yeah, the boys were like, "Yo, how's your friend Armand?" I'm like, "He's good."
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, yeah. I gave you a little shout out. I'm like, "Yeah, he's good. He's grinding at work."
Thank you.
And yeah, bro. Are you planning on getting on stage anytime soon?
Now that I'm vaccinated and you know, people are getting herd immunity,
there's outdoor shows and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. I think first I gotta like warm up to it. Like I gotta start at least attending them and like start getting back in the vibe at least.
Yeah.
There's this guy Saad Alessa, you know him, on Dead Comedy. He had like this whole thing where he was doing outdoor comedy on his backyard. That was pretty cool. That's pretty
sick. That's dope. That's dope.
He had like a lot of people on. He had like Craig Robinson and like.
Oh really?
Yeah, from The Office and shit. It was cool.
That
yeah.
Dude runs at the park by my house.
Craig Robinson?
Yeah.
You see him?
Bro, I saw him one day and he was just like. Grinding, and this is back when I was trying to get in really good shape when I first started, like where this was right after you and I, it was like in the pandemic, and he's like just, you know, almost like he looks like he's about to die pretty much, like that's how hard he was pushing. He was like I'm like hey man, I see you here all the time, you're grinding, respect that. And he's like, and in his voice he's like yeah, thanks man. And I was like I'm Ari, by the way. And he's like, I'm Craig.
That's dope.
And then that's it. That's the only time I ever talked to him.
I mean, he's a comic. You should have gotten a pic with him, bro.
It was COVID, dude. Imagine it's COVID and this is during the hysteria and some guy's like, yo, I'm a huge fan. Let me get a photo.
Yeah,
be like,
I feel that.
You'd be like, dude, I love my fans, but no.
He's pretty active in the comedy world. I've seen him like quite a bit, but I saw him at Ha Ha Comedy Club.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to talk to him because he was on stage and then he just left after.
Imagine you just go up on stage to talk to him. Like, yeah. He's right in the middle of a set. Yeah. You're like, dude, I'm a huge fan.
I wonder if you've been to the Comedy Store, right?
Yeah.
It's like right there.
It's down Melrose. Yeah.
Laugh Factory's right there. Comedy Store's right here.
I mean, down Sunset.
Yeah. So, man, Comedy Store is a crazy. When did you go?
Dude, I bombed.
You had a mic at the store?
It was a potluck, bro. Like, anyone could have gotten.
Yeah, I know. But people are still there. Like,
bro, it was a full room. It was an absolutely sardined room, bro. Like, so packed. And I bombed so hard that if I think about it, I have, like, a physical, like,
cringe.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know when you do something so cringy that if you recall it,
yeah,
you, like, you feel like you're, like, wiggling around inside?
Yeah.
That's how that was. And then I got invited by this dude. Shout out Bruce Gray. He's a funny-ass comic. I think he's a doorman there. Okay. I got invited to come there, check it out, put my name in the basket. Mm-hmm. I was, like, working on, like, you know, like, having a five at the time. This was, like, when I was...
5 minutes?
Yeah, I was, like, real early and, like, getting on stage. I didn't have a whole lot of reps. And I went up there, and I bombed so hard, right? And I come back outside, and I'm just, like, feeling, like, sorry for myself. And I order a drink by myself, don't talk to, like, anyone. And this girl walks up to me. She's like, "You're a comic, huh?"
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, I'm like, "Oh my God, she saw my set. Like, this is going to be so embarrassing." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Yeah, how'd you know? Did you see me in there?" She's like, "No, I just noticed you being all quiet."
Oh.
So she never saw it, bro. And I wonder how she's doing. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Dude, what if that was like Whitney Cummings or some shit, dude?
Dude. Okay. Who's your favorite female comic?
Damn, putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
Ali Wong.
Really?
Yeah. You too?
No.
Okay.
Nikki Glaser.
Oh, she's hilarious.
In my book, man. Dude, hilarious, hot, smoke show.
Yeah.
Dime. But who knows? Hey, that's, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I mean, dude, that's crazy. Have you done Laugh Factory?
Never.
I've done Factory. That's what I've done.
How'd that go?
It wasn't horrible.
Full room?
It was an open
downstairs,
mic.
Upstairs?
Downstairs.
Okay.
You know. Not horrible, not my best, because I was fucking nervous, but I got some laughs here and there. I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel like cringy. I wasn't quiet afterwards. I was still like networking and stuff.
Yeah. You're asking everyone to follow you on Instagram?
No, I was like, hey, yo, give me a 5-star on my podcast.
I will give you that, dude, is you're like, you know who you are well enough that you don't mind asking others to.
Yeah.
Which is, like, very difficult for people to do. It's, like, for someone to walk up to someone they just barely met, like, you are comfortable asking them, hey, will you leave a 5-star review on my podcast?
I remember I did that.
And I left you one, you know what I mean?
Investigate that, Honey Potter.
Yeah.
I remember that shit.
You remember that shit? But it's, like, dude, that's going to, in the future, it's going to, like, pay off.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's, like, a very difficult thing to do. Like, we were talking about rejection earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would be nervous that someone's going to be like, dude, no, like, I don't even like you. Like, that's what I'm, own insecurities are that someone's going to tell me that they don't even like me as a person that I just barely met.
But I warmed up. We've been talking for like an hour at that point. You know, we were talking about like where we grew up and stuff.
Yes. But take me out of it. Like, remember when you met one of my roommates?
Yeah.
And you asked them?
Yeah.
That takes balls.
Yeah, I did.
That's like all I'm trying to say is like for you to do that, I think it takes courage, you know?
Yeah, but I warmed up to him too. We watched the whole Super Bowl and we were just chilling, making jokes. I was like, hey, you know,
you like lubed him up with a few of your one-liners then you're like fucking slithered in there. You're like, hey, leave a 5-star on my pod.
Leave a 5-star.
My pod.
Dude, like, at one point I was just gonna go around your whole fucking house and be like, hey, yo, you're a cool guy, give me a 5-star, you're cool. But I was like, no, let's like, I feel like you warned me not to. That's why I was like, I was just chilling.
I don't know if I did, but you know, hey, I want the best for you, and if the best for you is, you know,
hey,
getting your podcast some notoriety, like, alhamdulillah Zaidi.
Thank you.
As they say, right?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Dude, your hospitality was on point, though. Like, I was feeling so shitty after the hike. You know, not in a bad way, just like I was sweaty and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
have you been working out since we had this conversation?
Light workouts, like home workouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, just push-ups, sit-ups.
How many push-ups?
Try to do 40 to 50 a day. It doesn't go through. Like, in the morning, I do, like, 20, and then I just forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's once you get like really into
it. Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
It pays off. You know what I mean? Like with work and like, you know, everything else that's going on, it's like hard for me to shut my mind off. And I feel like the only time I get to shut my mind off is when I'm in the gym, just grinding.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I want to get you on that, in the cult.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I want to join that cult.
Yeah, I'm, dude.
Hey, wait.
You know who's part of that cult?
Who?
D'Elia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he likes to get fucking yoked.
He has a kid now. But
God bless. God bless.
When I went to the second floor of your place, dude, like you had like a whole editing gear set up. What was that about, bro? Is that like your like home office or something? Like just the
Macs
and stuff.
The MacBooks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like if you need a bigger screen to get work done on. I don't use it a whole lot, but it's there.
Yeah.
But I'm actually looking at places right now. I remember you met one of my roommates, Sebastian.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at tomorrow. I'm going to go tour somewhere. I got 3 places lined up. And it's like in L.A., if you want a 1-bedroom, you're paying like $2,800 to $3,000.
For a studio?
No, for a 1-bedroom.
Oh, okay, 1-bedroom.
Right? On the west side. On the west side. Yeah, That's what I'm talking about. So, but if you have like 2 other roommates, which people do, you can pay like $1,200 to $1,500.
Yeah.
So it literally cuts your rent in half. But like where I grew up in like Minnesota, right?
I remember.
And I grew up in Salt Lake as well.
Yeah.
Right? With that much money, you could have a mortgage.
I know.
Like a fat house. Like a 4-bedroom house.
Your current house is pretty solid. It's pretty nice.
Dude. Yeah, but I don't own that house. Yeah, I know. I don't own that house.
Ian, right? Or
yeah.
Ian. Yeah.
Ian. Shout out Ian. But like I'm just saying like when you choose to live here, there's ups, right? There's like huge pluses. Like the fact that the weather's really nice here.
Yeah.
Is like enough for people to be like, you know what? I'm okay driving like a Civic versus like, you know, a 6 Series BMW.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, there's trade-offs. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, here. I'll give you a scenario. What would you rather do? Live homeless for a year in L.A. or live in, like, Antarctica in the freezing cold, no one around for a year?
Fuck. Damn, that's
actually And homeless hard. Just means that you don't have your own place. So you could crash at homeboy's house.
There's a whole
You know what I mean?
There's a whole TV show about this, about a comic who crashes at people's place. It's called Crashing.
Mm.
And I would just copy him, what he does.
Really?
Since he has so much free time on his hands and nothing to lose, because he has no rent, no mortgage, like no car payments or whatever, all he does is just go to comedy open mics and everything and just starts grinding.
Right.
And that's it. That's his life. And
then there it is, dude.
He slowly gets up there. It's a good show.
Who's the guy?
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes. Yeah. I've seen his stand-up. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious guy.
I don't think that's his real-life story, but that's pretty sick, though.
Like, it's Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow. Dude, he does everything.
Is it Apatow or is it Apatow?
Apatow.
Apatow.
I in my head, it's Apatow. I've never heard anyone say it out loud. Apatow. But Judd Apatow, he's like, he's done everything. Like, he's done Superbad. He's done.
Do you ever, like, think about.
He's done every comedy.
Do you ever think about, like, how a person that belongs to the tribe of, like, greatness.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how they were able to create all of that in their own, like, on their own, like, their mind. Like, when you hear about these guys write the whole script, direct the whole movie, do you know what I mean? And star in it, you're like, I could never fathom doing something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like some people are insanely talented. You know, and it's
Tom
like
Tom Cruise.
What about him?
He directed and produced and acted in Mission Impossible.
Yeah, dude. Shout out Tom Cruise.
Shout out Tom Cruise.
He's an absolute heartthrob.
Yeah.
Still is.
Still is at 56 or something. Fact check that real quick, Jamie.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about Scientology?
Scientology? Damn, bro.
Do you know much about it? Because like, you're a religious guy, so.
I'm not super religious, but, I dabble.
Yeah.
The church, isn't that like a few miles from here?
Church, bro, it's everywhere.
Yeah, but you know, the Hollywood
like,
one.
Like their headquarters or something?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The big one, yeah. Scientology. all I feel like is that they have a lot of shit on Tom Cruise and John Travolta.
Oh, you think it's a blackmail situation?
Yeah. Tom Cruise, I really want to be in Mission Impossible, so don't, like, shit on me, bro. But I'm just saying, like, there's no way.
Dude, if you want to be in Mission Impossible, it's over. Like, you just threw away your only ticket. You just talked shit about the guy who owns all the rights to it.
I'm not talking shit on him. I'm talking shit about Scientology.
Am I right, dude? Am I right?
Sorry, Tom Cruise. But I was going to say, like, they have to have shit on him. There's no way. There's no way they don't. Because, like, every woman that, like, post-divorce with him are always so happy. Like, Nicole Kidman was so happy after...
Does she divorce him?
Yeah. I wonder why that is. Like, everyone he divorces, like, the woman is always so happy. Like, they feel free. Like, I want to know what that's about.
Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know that have gotten out of relationships and their response is, no, it's totally fine. I feel so free.
Me.
Like, literally everyone. Like, no one's going to be like, no one's going to come out publicly and be like, yeah, I feel shitty about myself and I'm worse off without them. Do you know what I mean? Because it makes you look weaker. So it's like, bro, cap.
Yeah.
You know? That dude was the biggest star back in, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenomenal actor.
Rain Man.
Anyways, not to bag on him, but, like, if I was Tom Cruise... and Scientology, like, worship me like they do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to leave. Right? Like, if I was, like, who's a really famous Catholic? I can't even think of one. Not the Pope.
I don't know. Johnny Depp or something.
Johnny Depp. I don't know about that.
Like, I don't know either. I just shot in the dark.
Give me another, like, a religion or some, I don't know.
Fuck, I don't know.
Like a cult.
Cult?
But, like, imagine
Mormons.
Imagine that, like, you're worshipped by a large group of people, but those large group of people have, like, a set of beliefs that, you know, like, some people may find, like, a bit obscure, right? You'd be like, yeah, but it's, like, it's pretty cool that these people all, like, worship me.
Yeah.
He's not gonna, like, shit on that base.
Yeah.
Here's a good example. Trump fans, right?
MAGA.
It's almost like a cult.
It is
in
a
that
cult,
like
100%.
They worship this dude, right?
There's and levels to it,
and it costs money to be part of. Like, I think one thing that's, like, synonymous with all cults is they cost money.
Yeah.
Right.
KKK.
And there's a financial incentive to it. When Trump lost the election, whether you think it was, you know, fraud or not, I don't give a shit. But when that happened, they asked for more money. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is, like, classic cult-like behavior. Scientology does that too. You know, just they all do, bro. It's all about power. It's all about control. You know.
Facts.
And
neo-Nazis.
Yeah, that's probably a cult too. Like, white nationalists.
Yeah,
that's a cult too. Like, they pay dues. It's a cult. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you can't subscribe to anything too hard.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be moderation.
That's facts, bro.
Yeah.
Moderation is key to everything, dude. I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like one thing I learned in life. Because, like, when you have, like, a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
Moderation's always the thing that keeps you in check. You get me? Yeah.
Dude, I had a problem with moderation.
Really?
I spent a lot of my earlier years, like, just drinking and doing just whatever drugs were around and
I remember
partying.
When we were hiking, you told me about
that. Yeah.
I don't know if you want to say it publicly, but that was crazy. That's like,
I mean, like, I don't even necessarily think it's, I don't even think it's, like,
that bad.
Super valuable to get into, like, the specifics of it. But,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I know that there's people out there that have had the same issue. And, like, some people, they don't run into that. Some people can just stop. My thing was, like, I was just partying for so long and I just never wanted the party to stop. So, like, I don't think moderation comes super easy to everyone.
That's true.
There's people who are obese. There are people who are sex addicts. There's people who can't stop buying things on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. What's that thing called?
Shopaholic.
No, it's like something else, but it'll come back to me. It's like a word.
Uh-huh. What is the word?
It's not going to come to me right now. It's like,
but I know, but what does it describe?
So, like, when you buy something and you feel good that it's coming in.
Buyer's remorse? No.
That's bad.
Buyer's high.
I think it's buyer's high.
Yeah,
I think it's buyer's
high.
The
buyer's high, yeah. You know, back in the day, I don't know if they still do this, but, like, if you went and got a car from a dealership, they would call you like every couple of days to make sure you're happy with the vehicle, because people would have this like buyer's remorse where you could legally bring the car back after like 10 days.
Really?
Yeah, if you didn't like it. So like people would buy these like extravagant cars and whatever, and they would bring it back because they're like, oh my God, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But no, like back to the moderation thing. I don't think in this world it comes too easy.
That's true.
You know?
There's a lot of issues. Like, I guess, I don't know what issue I've had with moderation. I guess I used to, this pandemic, dude, like, I used to just wake up and just play video games, like, all day. And I did nothing. Yeah. And, like, I was like, I remember one time it got so serious where I literally woke up at, like, 1 p.m., right? And then I gamed till 8. That was it. I played for 7 hours and I went to sleep and I woke up and did the same thing again, rinse and repeat. So I realized that was so shitty. And I was like, damn, I need to get a job or something, bro. Like, I need to keep myself busy.
How did your mental health feel when you were doing that?
Shit. It felt like shit.
You know what's interesting about video games? I'm not trying to, like, shit on it, but it's like, at the, like, best case scenario, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that you don't go, like, pro in it. Best case scenario, you have like what, like a rank, or yeah, you have like some sort of record.
Yeah.
Right. But that's pretty much all you get for all the hours that you put in.
That's true, bro.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there isn't something like concrete that like you get out of all the hours you spent there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but it's fun.
It is fun.
It's like super fun. I know myself, I have an issue with moderation in terms of things that can become addicting. So I don't play video games. But I know if I did, I'd get really into it and it would become like my life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I have, you know, only so many hours in a day. One of my best friends, he didn't play video games for like a while, and then the pandy hit. And then we just, like, wouldn't see him anymore. Like, he was just, like, I was that guy. Bro, he gamed all day long. And he just, like, we'd see him, and he just kind of, like, his eyes, like, looked like there was, like, holes burning to him. And, like, he would eat, like, once or twice a day.
Yeah, I really empathize with that guy, dude. Because, like, when Warzone came out,
yeah,
shit. I think, like, that game was just so addicting, bro. Like, it I don't know what, I deleted that shit.
Really?
But, yeah. Yeah, it was like probably one of the most addicting Call of Duties.
Yeah.
Yeah, of like all time.
Have you ever looked at VR porn? Was that a segue or what, huh?
I remember, what were we talking about? And during our hike, we were talking about like, would you ever get a head from a gay dude or something? That was the question.
Was that what we were talking about? No, I think what the conversation was, oh my God, if you really want to edit this out, you're like this guy asked if he could suck my dick, and then you're like,
edit, but we'll say it personally. It's cool. Yeah. So a guy did offer me a blowjob.
Would I? No, but I genuinely believe that like. There's no issue with that, and you could, and if you wanted to, I would if I wanted to, but I've never wanted to. How's that?
Here's the issue. I would have done it, but there's no way I'm getting hard, so what do we do to combat that?
I guarantee you there's a guy out there that can suck your dick so good.
So good,
so good that you wouldn't even care. You'd be like, dude.
But like, you have to get the ball rolling, and I needed a VR headset with some like, some other stuff. Oh,
okay. So now, dude, now I remember the question. It was if you were in VR and you thought a girl was sucking your dick and it was really a guy, would you do it? Tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it. Does it make a sound?
Dude, that's so dumb.
It is what it is, man.
The funniest shit about that conversation was that there's like these two old white ladies walking behind us, and they just kind of looked at us like, what the fuck are they talking about? And dude, that was the best thing ever.
They thought that was a strange conversation, but like, they could have answered the same question.
Oh, God. Yeah,
like, what if they're just looking at us all weird? They're like, ugh. We're like, ma'am, all right, let's flip it around. Would you let, wait, no.
I know, that's so easy that doesn't for girls. Work.
That's not the same thing. Would you let a girl eat you up? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah. For me, I have to have so many things like.
Dude, I just think it's because men are fucking gross.
Yeah, we are, man.
We are, like, compared to, like, women are, like, super, like, divine and smell nice and all this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And dudes are just kind of fucking gross.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like.
Dude, I, like, uphill, the hike was so good.
Yeah.
Downhill, I was tripping, falling, dying, bro. What happened to me?
Like, I think you had fatigue. It was a long hike. It was a, you know, long stretch up, and your body wasn't, like, used to it. But
I think, like,
it was fun
going down.
It was out of your comfort zone. It was, you know?
Going downhill. I think I almost. If you weren't there, and Iman,
yeah, shout out Iman.
Shout out Iman, bro. What a guy. I would have died. He basically saved my life.
He was holding you on the way down.
Yeah. He basically did save my life at one point where, like, I realized that if he wasn't there, I would have just gone down and that was it. Like, there's no stopping me. You're not the Flash, so you're not going to come back up and scoop me. But I was pretty much dead at that one spot.
Right.
So thank you, Iman. You technically did save my life, you know?
Okay, I have another question for you.
What's up?
And I'll even ask your producer this, too. Would you, with a knife, cut your dick off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For $2 million if it grew back in 2 years.
Same length?
Same length.
Hmm.
Yeah, 1 centimeter.
No dick.
Same length.
No dick for 2 years. Would I feel pain during the cutting?
You would feel pain.
Fuck.
It would feel exactly like you'd think it'd feel, right? So, like, this scenario, like, doesn't change anything, but you get $2 million and you get your dick back after 2 years, but no dick for 2 years, and you got to live with, like, the horror of cutting your dick off.
For $2 million.
For $2 million. What's that?
How sharp is the knife? It's a clean cut.
Yeah, sharp
knife. I'm not
going
to slowly.
No, this isn't like a butter knife.
It's not like some gourmet cooking some glizzies.
What if I was, like, sandpaper? That's what you get. To get it off with.
See, I think one cut out, $2 million direct deposit in my bank account. No dick.
And you get,
get it back.
So you get the money right away, right?
Yeah.
You get the money as soon as you cut it off, right? But your dick don't come back for 2 years. It's like you know when, like, a tree branch breaks and then it takes a while to, like.
So, like, just health wise, how do I piss?
Bro, it's like you got a tube or something, like
shit.
A catheter or something.
Deal with that for two. It's enticing.
$2 million. So you're making $1 million a year tax free.
I do love Little Armand, but I don't know if I can cut him off, bro.
Wait, does capital gains apply to this?
No, this isn't the stock market.
This
dude.
Isn't this guy's taxing and shit.
No, it's me handing you a briefcase. With $2 million
in it. The IRS isn't gonna come in and be like, "Did you cut your dick off for $2 million?"
Yo, serious question.
This is like a fucked up Mr. Beast.
Do you remember exactly,
Mr. Yeast?
Yeah, Mr. Yeast.
Am I getting a bro fit? Yeah, there you go.
There you go. I'm not gonna leave you hanging. Do you remember the guy who cut his dick off or something like crazy like that? And it was like everyone at school like talked about it. It was like a viral like clip that was like everyone was
cut
like
his dick off.
Yeah, do you remember that, dude? It was like
I
think it's called like the Pain Olympics or something.
Oh, that's like a whole website with like screwed up shit going on.
So, do you think if you had something so insane that people couldn't help but like show their friends to traumatize them, that you'd get enough ad revenue to cover the $2 million? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you would have, remember Two Girls, One Cup?
Yeah. I remember that.
How many clicks did Two Girls, One Cup get?
Millions.
More than $2 million worth of clicks.
What?
That is a fact.
Was that monetized?
I don't know.
Who were the two chicks on there, dude?
One of them was my sister, and the other one was my cousin. They're both dead now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Fecal
no,
matter.
But, like, dude, first of all, I don't even think that shit was real.
Yeah.
I think it was, like... It was, like, just done in a studio, and it was, like, soft-serve ice cream. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that was real. But if it was, who cares if it was or it wasn't? I'm sure someone monetized that. People didn't just put that clip out on the internet for, you know,
for
the
fun.
Goodness of their heart.
There's no way.
What are you looking up? Who are you texting?
I'm not texting.
I'm
just,
jealous.
I just want to bring some memories back for everyone.
Mm. Oh, shout out this song, bro.
It has like 10 million views on YouTube, and all the comments are what you think it is. It's like a famous. It's by Enya.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Sail away.
I feel like that is a household name.
Yeah. Right.
Two girls, one cup.
Oh. Talking about
Enya?
Yeah.
Yo, they're both household.
Yeah. And they go hand in hand. So.
Dude, that's. I just feel like there's certain things that like broke the internet like that. That. What?
I'm just thinking about that one song from Enya.
Go. Sing it.
No.
Sing it. Sing it. You want to sing
it? I'm an Enya Spotify real quick. What was that one song I'm thinking of?
When I was growing up, there was this family who we were really close with.
Only time. Yeah.
Only time what?
Well, I don't know what the lyrics are, but
bro, you don't listen to. You don't be driving around blasting Enya,
dude.
Don't cap.
You'd be surprised, man.
That's like a bath song. People don't just like drive around listening to Enya.
That's true.
What is like the weirdest kind of music you listen to?
Damn, I don't
know.
And
if you don't listen to any weird music, that's cool.
No, like. I mean, I don't really listen to weird music. I just listen to indies. There's nothing like if you pulled up my Spotify playlist and you press shuffle, they'd be like, oh yeah, let's not play that, guys. I don't think I have any of those.
I put on country the other day. I was feeling patriotic. Some countries, dude. I was feeling mad patriotic.
I'll send you a country song that's
and
so
I
good.
Just like put it on and I was in my car in traffic.
Yeah.
And I was just jamming, dude.
I'll send you a country song right now. It's beautiful, man.
Send it, dude.
I just love the covers of it. Just like the whitest dude.
Should have ran after you. Do you know the thing about country that
is Rascal Flatts? Does that count as country?
I think so.
Then Rascal Flatts is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, people talk shit about country, but I remember when I was in like the Midwest, we'd go to these like country music festivals.
Okay.
And it was so much fun. Like, the vibes are so good. Like, they're so positive. They're so fun. And, like, people are real nice. Like, I think country in the South or, like, I guess rural America get a bad rap.
Really?
They're, like, I think they're nice people.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as a brown guy, right? Do you have, like, experiences with
I feel like if they didn't ask
the
you.
The whites?
You could pass as white.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You could pass it. But if I went there, I feel like I'd have a completely different experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, I forgot where I went. I went to Lancaster, and I was just chilling.
Clancaster?
Yeah. I don't get that reference. But I went to Lancaster, and I was just in Costco, and some guy was like, where the hell are you from? I'm like, dude,
bro, that's like
downtown
minutes.
L.A. is
that's
like
30 minutes from
downtown
here.
L.A. is like an hour. So
why did he have a southern accent?
He, in my memory, he sounded like that. I'm like, dude, am I the only brown guy you've seen out here? Like, what's going on?
Dude, what if he just saw you and like he just came up to you and like started like poking you to like see what you felt like? He's like, I never felt one of these before.
Golly!
And he just starts touching. I don't know if he sounded like that, but like I totally understand what you mean. Like, bro. So, I was born in the Middle East, right?
Yeah.
And Persian, doesn't matter how white I look or how white I don't look, forget that. I just remember feeling real awkward after 9/11 and after, like, Iraq was getting bombed and all that. Do you know what I felt like, bro?
What?
I felt like you ripped ass in a classroom and you're just waiting for people to smell it and you're like looking around like, all right, who's gonna notice, dude? Who's gonna notice me?
When they mention 9/11 or something in class,
yeah.
Everyone always looks at like people like you and me, bro.
Yeah.
Like our last names and our first names, they don't help either. Like if your first name was Josh, like no one would ever think twice.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so screwed, man. Like I mean, your first name's Ari, so, like, I was going to ask, like, in roll call, did they ever fuck up your name?
My whole name is Artavon, but I go by,
yeah,
like,
I
people
that.
Just call me
but
Ari.
But Artavon's not that hard, though.
Artavon Kotaverdian doesn't sound white.
Yeah, it sounds like some normal Armenian dude or something.
Dude, I just remember it just being really weird, and I would be, like, 9 years old, right?
Yeah.
And I'd go to, like, a friend's house to, I don't know, eat peanut butter and jelly or whatever the hell we did.
Yeah.
And then like the kid's dad would be like, so let me ask you, What's your opinion about, you know, diplomacy in the Middle East? Like some stupid question. Like more realistically, what they asked was like, so what do you think about, like, you know, what's going on in the Middle East? And I'm 9.
Dude, have you seen?
What did he think I was gonna say? Like, death to the infidels or something? Like what? Could a 9-year-old that's just like trying to like assimilate like have to say?
Honestly,
you know. That was just a weird time, bro. It's a tragedy.
Have you seen Big Sick with Kumail Nanjiani?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
You know that one scene where Ray Romano is like, so 9/11. I always wanted to talk about it with, with people. And then that shit was so funny. And Kumail was like, oh, you know, it was a tragedy, you know? We lost 11 of our best guys.
Yes! Dude, that's a great bit. Dude.
And then their faces were like, what?
Yeah, well, he said something like, we lost a lot of good soldiers or something like that.
That shit was so funny, bro. Like, how do you even respond to that when, like, some white guy's just like, so, 9/11, bud, let's talk about it. You know, like, the hell? Like,
yeah, dude.
It's like, you've never talked about it with anyone before?
Bro, I do a bit where I would say, you know, the hardest part about leaving the Middle East was, you know, seeing my mom's sex drive, because when we were in the Middle East, she couldn't have sex or drive.
Let's go to the Laugh Factory right now. We're going to Laugh Factory.
That bit would kill, dude.
Let's go to Laugh Factory right now, bro. Screw this shit.
And it's just like sometimes when you lean into like too hard.
That's a good joke.
Yeah. Thank you. So it's like I would do stuff like that.
I can imagine that just killing at the factory or the store, dude. That's great. Why didn't you say that at the store? What's wrong with you, bro? That would have killed.
I didn't have that bit then. You see, I bombed at the store like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
That's the thing. Like bombing, it makes you so much better. Like
it keeps you humble. Yeah, fuck.
I remember.
Like, it keeps me so humble.
When I started out at the open mics and stuff, everyone was telling me like, "Damn, bro, you're 16 and you're doing this, man. You're so good." And it was low key getting to my head.
Yeah.
And then some guy invited me to a backyard show, and I was like, "I got this."
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't bomb, but I didn't like meet expectations, I guess. So ever since
whose
then,
expectations, yours or theirs?
Just audience and like, you know, theirs, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "Damn, maybe I'm not as good as I thought," because obviously I wasn't, because I was just a year and a half in.
You thought you were just sick.
Yeah, I thought I was just like, dude.
You're like, I'm sick.
Jerry Seinfeld is 40, and I'm coming for him, bro.
You're like, David Spade's going to retweet my bit.
I'm like, I'm going to be Jeff Ross at a roast, dude. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's very humbling. Like, let me ask you this. Have you ever been, like, had a joke, like, get a good response, and then you're trying to keep like your pace up and you forget the next bro, there's nothing worse than that, and you see it happen all the time, because people would be like, you know, punchline, then the audience laughs and they're like, and so the thing, like, you know what I mean, like you lost them right there. They just lost confidence in you. So I don't care how hard that bit hits, it's not going to hit as good as if you remembered it.
There's this guy I know from Fourth Wall that had that moment, and it went insane and viral, like, everywhere. So he was just, like, he does, like, the general thing where, like, oh, where are you from, man? Oh, where do you
work?
Oh,
he's doing crowd work? Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing crowd work. Yeah. And then he's like, hey, what's your name, man? He's like, my name's Zach. He's like, Zach? Damn, you sounded so pissed when you said it. Who are you, Zach? What do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a movie director. He's like, oh, what movies do you do? And then the crowd went, like, super silent. He's like, oh, now I know you're lying because you're silent. And then he's like, think of any Zach movie director. And he's like, oh, Zack Snyder.
Is it Zach Galifianakis?
No.
Oh.
And then he said, I am Zack Snyder. So he was literally making fun of Zack Snyder the whole time. And then his whole set after was so, like, he was just like,
people just
oh,
didn't give
shit.
Him
the... He was trying to make some jokes.
Did he make up for it?
Yeah, kind of. I'll send you the video. Sick. It was pretty funny. Like, he was like,
it's actually like a really funny moment.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah. It was caught on tape, so I'll send it to you, bro. It was hilarious, actually.
That's super, super funny.
That's rare.
I remember I was doing a set at this place called The Hood. Right? Yeah. That's the name of the place. It was Hood Bar and Pizza. It's in Palm Desert. And it was an open mic night with a group of comics that do comedy there. And, then there was like a rap group. There was a group of like these six black dudes from out of town, and like they made a deal with the club, like, yo, we'll come and we'll like chill there, but you gotta let us perform a few songs on stage, right? So people are doing stand up, like some shitty comics, including myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys were gonna be the closers, like the headliners, and they're gonna do their like shitty rap songs. And I'm doing like crowd work, and I like this was like just such a fun moment for me, because it's like one of my first jokes that came up on the spot that like really hit. And I looked at them and I was like, so you guys must be from out of town or something like that. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, you having fun? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, welcome to the hood. And I said that accidentally.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because the name of the place was The Hood.
Yeah.
Right? So then there was the pause, and I held on to that pause. I didn't say anything. And then we like looked at each other like this, and then everyone just erupted laughing.
Dude,
right?
That's because sick.
It's like there's that whole.
There's that moment of realization. Yeah. It's like a double entendre.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, yo, welcome to The Hood. And they're like these rappers that seem like maybe they know or two. Who knows?
Yeah, that's dope, bro.
Yeah.
It's always those like little moments that like it's not even part of your set, but you just say it like I forgot what the term is, but like when you make a joke about the situation that people are a part of, like the audience, they'll laugh cuz they're with you in the present time.
Yeah.
So that's why like jokes about like stories or whatever, they don't hit cuz they weren't there.
Right.
But so comics like Dave Chappelle, you know, Russell Peters, who make jokes on the spot about the situation that everyone is in at the moment, those are jokes that hit, bro.
Dude, I remember seeing like Russell Peters' first like special where he was wearing those oversized blue jeans.
Oh, white shirt. Oh, dude.
Dude,
it's legendary.
He killed so hard. I'd never seen someone like
Pepsi-mong.
Yeah, I'd never seen comedy that funny,
dude.
And shout out that guy, because like for as long as I can remember, like that dude I think was genuinely the first stand-up that I saw that I was like, oh my god, this is hilarious.
Yeah, that guy, he was killing it, man. He's still killing it. But dude, like his crowd,
do you know how much money that he has?
Yeah,
can
I know.
You look up his net worth?
I've been in his Lamborghini before.
Really?
I met him. Yeah.
Did you finish him off
when
you...
No, but I did do a set with him and it was pretty fun.
Oh, okay.
I didn't tell him about the white shirt, blue jeans, but I told him, like, dude, like, you're one of the first, like, Netflix comedy specials and stuff, and you really, like, paved the way for everyone, so thank you, and, like...
I think he was the first
he wasn't the first, but he was one of the first. The first was Zach Galifianakis.
Really?
Yeah.
What's up? What is it? Yeah. $75 million.
Yeah, he's loaded, bro.
That's so crazy, bro.
All of India like rooting for him. That's a billion people.
Yeah, selling out stadiums worldwide.
Yeah.
So gangster.
If you have like Indian people behind you, it's GG, man.
Yo, come up with a product that you can sell to just India. I'm dead serious. Like if you literally sell it to like 0.003% of the country.
It's a lot of money.
Still a lot of money.
Yeah.
What would that product be?
NVI Health by Ari Kotavirian. Kotavirian.
Oh, you want to sell my company to them?
Yeah. What do you sell exactly? You said you sell items, right?
So we provide IT services with our with our hardware.
Yeah, you're not gonna sell that to Indians.
Yeah, exactly. How are you gonna tell them about tech?
Sir, I made that company. You're trying to sell it back to me?
Yo, actually that sounds like a guy I work with, his name's Saud.
Saudi.
I think he's Indian, bro. He sounds Indian.
Saud. I don't think he's Indian, bro.
Say your Indian. Last name. Say your last name.
Zaid.
I love that.
Yeah, I feel like Saud is not Indian, bro. Indian names are more, they're pretty long. They just shorten it.
Can I tell you something fucked up?
What's up?
So there's a website that my buddy sends me videos from like all the time. And they're like these really gnarly like videos.
Gnarly. And holy shit, I haven't heard that in forever.
I use that word all the time.
That's gnarly.
And I can't not use it because it just like it explains what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There was one of a land dispute in India between a father and a son, and they start hacking each other with scythes.
What?
Dude. And like there's people everywhere and no one's doing anything about it.
It's fucking Street Fighter, dude.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're, it's a father and a son, too. It's what the video description said.
It's a sick-ass Bollywood movie.
Yeah. Yo, whatchamacallit? Have you noticed how racist Bollywood is?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm trying to say?
I used to watch a lot of Bollywood when I was a kid, bro.
Yeah. So, I didn't learn about that till later in life, but, like...
They only hire fair people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any outrage in their country about that stuff.
Dude, there definitely is. Like, there's this brand that's so popular. It's like their Dove or Head & Shoulders. It's just called Fair & Lovely.
Yeah.
And the whole advertising that they have is that it's going to make you whiter.
Get out.
Yeah. It does. Bro, in a very that? Screwed up way.
Oh, so it's like bleaching your skin?
Yeah.
It's fucked up, bro. It's just, I guess that's like the traces of like colonialism or something.
Yeah, dude. They really favor lighter looking people than darker looking people there, man. It's pretty screwed up.
I mean, I just like, I hope we get to the point where people don't need to address race anymore.
Yeah, well, good luck, man.
But like, imagine if it's
gonna take
everything just evened out and we just went about life without having to take race into everything.
We need so many interracial couples like in the next like 200 years that everyone just becomes beige, bro. Like, everyone just looks kind of the same.
Well, that's kind of racist too. is saying that we need only interracial
couples.
Well,
no, we don't need it, but it's gonna happen eventually.
Like, yeah. Maybe not in your lifetime.
Yeah, definitely not. But we're all going to look kind of similar.
But look, like, here's the thing. People are tribal, and I don't think anyone should be, like, discriminated against. But, like, I see everyone as equal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, if someone likes their tribe and they want to stick with it, as long as they're not discriminating against someone else, it's totally fine.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if a black dude's like, I only like white chicks. Is he racist? No, he's not. If he only likes black chicks, is he racist? No, he's not. You like what you like.
Facts.
Do you know what I mean? So I just like, I don't want to put too much emphasis on, do you know, there's just so many labels like out these days. I just want everyone to, just want everything to be like love and chill.
Yeah, dude, that's why I love LA, man. Everyone's just on drugs. Everyone's chill. They don't really see
Everyone's colors. On drugs and they're living in a tent and they're lighting shit on fire. And yeah. That needs to stop. Yeah. That I'm not down with. Like, I pay a lot of money, and there's, like, trash and shit everywhere around
my neighborhood. Yeah, you do pay a lot of money in your neighborhood, man. It's a pretty dope house, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But, damn. Your neighbors, like, start fires?
No, I mean, like, the people in homeless tents.
Yeah.
They start fires all the time. If you have the Citizen app, like...
Oh, yeah.
There's fires started all the time by homeless people.
I don't have that app, but everyone keeps telling me about it, and they keep, like, posting screenshots and stuff about, like, random crime that goes on. I really gotta download it, honestly.
Dude, it's insane. Do you have it?
My brother has it.
Bro, the stuff that you see, and, like, if you don't live in L.A., you don't know how bad the homeless problem is. Unless you're actually here...
You heard what they did with Echo Park?
What happened?
They just threw all the homeless people out.
Yeah. Of the park?
Yeah, and they sent them to Venice, basically.
Get the fuck... How did they get to Venice? Echo Park is far from
I know,
Venice.
But, you know, you're homeless. You need a spot to be at, and Venice is packed.
Sent them to Venice?
Venice is packed.
But I did hear that people started, like, banding together to against the police, taking out the homeless people.
So were the homeless people in the park illegally squatting?
No,
because you can't be in the park after 10. Did you know that that's a law?
I didn't know.
Dude.
But that's like always
gonna,
been a problem.
What are you going
right?
to fucking do? Like, you can't put them on like a train and God, that was going the wrong way. You can't make them leave the city.
Yeah. That's
right?
True.
Like, so that's, you can't do that.
So, an article by Cable 9.
Yeah. And how many people did they say that they got rid of?
Fair bit.
It says there's a large-scale homeless problem there.
Yeah. You know what's really sad about the homeless situation is like you'll see these people, and they have visible infections.
Ooh.
On their arms and legs.
Last of Us.
What?
Nothing.
What?
You referenced Last of Us accidentally, but it's okay.
What's Last of Us?
Damn, you've been out of the video game world for a while. It won Game of the Year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what he's talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so lost, dude. So they do that in the show? They talk about homeless people, like, losing arms?
Sure. I mean, it's just infected homeless people.
They're, oh, yeah. Dude, they look like zombies.
Last of Us, yeah.
Yeah.
You're describing Last of Us.
Yeah. Sometimes life imitates art.
Yeah, it does, man.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do, bro? Voice crack.
You're still growing, bro. You're still, yeah. Your nuts are still dropping. Like, you're still, things are happening. I'm happy for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Everyone keeps saying I'm on the upswing, bro. So, when did you come to LA from Minnesota and Utah and stuff?
I was living in Northern California. I moved to LA about 4.5 years ago.
Okay, four years ago.
Yeah.
Really recent. You're doing well. How'd you get hired at a medical company and stuff? Was that beforehand? I mean,
I have a pretty good resume. I'm great with sales. I'm good with people. I work hard. I mean, like, I don't think anything, stands in your way other than maybe, like, you know, how high you're willing to set the bar.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, and, like, you know, things are great. Like, my numbers are great at work, but there's, like, part of me wishes that I didn't have to work for money, but that I worked because it's something that I just wanted to do.
Damn. That's good.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I've always wished that.
That sounds like a sweet spot, right? Like, of course, I have a few nice things, and I want some more, right? Because, like, you see a dude in a McLaren, you're like, damn, I kind of want a McLaren, right? But then, like, living in LA, you see those nonstop.
Yeah,
you see things that you're like, I want one of those, all over the place. In social media, you see that all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it just becomes like this vicious cycle where, like, you feel like you just have to work to have those things. But just imagine, like, not feeling like your work, your professional life, was tied to the things that you can have.
Damn. That's true.
And I think that some people, they have that privilege and that they can actually live like that.
Damn, that's crazy, bro. That's deep. Awesome. That's a good, like, motivator.
Deep, huh?
Yeah.
Deep.
I mean, you're doing well for yourself in LA considering you came in 2017?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, you have a banging house, you have a nice car, you have a good job. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying you're set, but, like, dude, good shit, man.
Thank you, dog.
Good shit, dude. Thank you. Proud of you. And you're a comic on the side. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's as LA as it gets.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Yo, okay, you know what? We gotta hit up some mics and stuff, like, soon.
I'd love to, bro. You just let me know when you're going. You know, I'll start practicing again.
Let's set some shit up, dude.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, we've been locked down here.
I've been wanting to do comedy for the longest, bro. Let's do it, man.
Yeah,
I miss it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Fucking do it, bro. So we did book the studio for an hour, and we're pushing the limits right now.
All
right. Yeah. So, thank you for coming, Ari. You know, we've been planning this for like a year. I remember the first time we met, we're like, dude, we got to do a podcast after COVID's over. And it's kind of over. Not really. It's peaked.
Who knows, man?
It has peaked. So it's
just happy to be here, dude. Thanks for the invite. Like, it was fun. I had a good time chatting with you and your boy. And, like,
of course, bro.
It's always good to see you. And as always, you know, if you ever need anything, you can hit me up.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. And did I just take your podcast virginity? Is this your first podcast that you're doing?
This is my first one, yeah.
Awesome, dude. I'm a fucking honey potter for that
dude,
one.
Dude, you got me.
I think I'm gonna title this podcast Honey Potter Investigated.
Okay, dude. Okay.
Let's do it.
Whatever you want to do. Thanks.
Hell yeah. Thank you. And I'm gonna link Ari's stuff down below if you guys ever need IT for your health company.
Better be a good company. I'm just saying. I don't do business with no scraps, you know?
Yeah, if the CEO of Kaiser Permanente is listening to
this. Yeah, that'd be great. Kaiser, give me a call.
Yeah.
You want Tom Cruise, I want Kaiser.
Let's do it, man. We'll make it happen. Tom Cruise ex Kaiser. We'll have him in this room.
Bet.
We'll have him in this room a year from now.
I'm there.
We'll have a pod. Tom Cruise is going to be here, and Kaiser Permanente CEO is going to be right there.
Or she.
She. Or he.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. You're hired. You're good.
Matriarchy, brothers.
All
right.
You're good, man. And thank you. Thank you for all the listeners. This is, you know, it's a great pod. And leave a 5-star review down below. And feel free to message RE Dick Pics whenever you want. All right, guys. Have a great day.
Make sure they're well lit. Bye.
Well lit. Peace. That was beautiful, bro.
Thank God we're alive. Allah Akbar, homie.
Yeah.